Yeah, boy, Bomba crazy that.
Welcome back to England, mate, by the way.
Welcome back. Thanks, mate.
International jet setting tour DJ.
I won't call it international jet setting, mate. Flipping heck. I didn't realize what this tour life was going to be like. Yo, man's in the mud right now. I'm not even joking, brother. Feeling hurt, mate. Fragile.
Tour life.
We were just having a counseling session before we hit record then. Doubles coaching me through tour life, yo. It's like my heart don't feel right, yo. Someone call an ambulance. I'm joking. I'm only joking. What's
But we're
popping, man?
here. You made it back. Welcome back.
Thanks, mate.
The show's looked incredible.
Yeah, it's been dope to be fair, but we've got one more left. One more left in Copenhagen
Copenhagen.
on Friday, which I know you've been there before, actually. I think I asked you this the other day, but I seen you had been at the same venue because I went to look at the Instagram and there you was on stage doing your thing.
In my full glory.
So yeah, one more show and then we're done, man. But bro, I can't lie, yeah. I think I posted about it the other day. Man, we've been DJing a long time. A long time. We've been around the block. I have learned so much like doing this tour. Like, brother, it's just a completely different ball game to DJing, isn't it? Like playing clubs and that.
Very, very different.
Completely different. Like, but
Very different.
I feel like confidence-wise and just I don't know, man. I thought I didn't. Well, I won't say I thought I knew it all. I definitely don't know it all at all. But I felt like I'd done enough. Do you know what I'm saying? But then you do these tour things, and you realize like shit. There's a whole completely different game out there.
Yeah, man, completely different. And the thing is, that's what I said before. I've said it, like, doing so much of the touring over the last 18 months, I come back into the clubs feeling like a different DJ. Do you know what I mean? I came back to the clubs thinking, shit, I need to learn this again because it is very much a different style of DJing. I'm doing 15-minute power sets before the artists come out. Now I'm doing residencies again and I'm like, holy shit, I've got to do this for 6 hours. But, and before,
After half an hour, the reality sinks in, yo.
bro, before touring, 6 hours was light work, bro. I could do 9 hours if I wanted to without repeating a song. Do you know what I mean? But then coming back after 18 months of doing the tour, and it's like, it's actually hard work.
Yeah,
Like
it
it
is.
is, and especially where I know everyone's feeling it at the moment. The audience is, it's weird. The audience is weird right now. Like, they almost
I'm so
don't
glad you
know
said
what
this.
they want. Do you know what I mean? And like the new music isn't, some of the new music's not slapping when I think it would. Other tunes that I thought would flop are absolutely killing it. TikTok music is taking over the clubs. The attention span is down to 3 seconds per song. Like it is a different ball game to 18 months ago. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's crazy, man. It's like having to retrain. So yeah, doing the tour DJ life and then doing the club DJ life and then all the other DJ lives, it's all.
It's like you say when you do these shows as well, bro. When you play before the artist and that, like these men are coming out for a specific reason and like, and they're ready to bounce. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they're ready to get involved. Like you don't really have to like some places around Europe. I can't lie, like you have to like win them over a bit because obviously it was Meeks's first like European tour and different. Like he's engaging a new audience stuff like that. I get that, but like all the UK shows, like man, are out there on smoke from early. So like I won't say you don't have to work hard. You still have to work for it, but. Like you can get them in the palm of your hand like much easier, you know what I'm saying? But like in a
100.
club, you're doing 6 hours and it's like an assault course, mate. You don't know what you're gonna get. Man could be jumping over walls, hiding behind booths, like the crowds up and down, like peaks and troughs.
I'm finding as well, you know, like people aren't coming out early anymore. They're coming out very, very late. I
Bro.
got one club I'm playing at, bro.
Bro.
No lie, I've told you this. People don't get to the club until 3 in the morning.
What?
They don't come until 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not lying. This
Yeah,
is not an
we
exaggeration.
don't have it that bad, bro. Like these lot are coming out late, but 3 a.m. Bro, do you know what it is? I think people think it's cool now. I think that's the cool thing to be coming out late. But the reality is, that's not it, yo.
It's not it.
That is not it, like
Don't they
brother.
realize, like, DJ doubles in the club? You could have a sick night for 5 hours if you come out earlier. You got one of the best DJs in the country in the club, and you're not coming out till 3. Come on.
Bro, we talk about attention spans all the time with music. I don't think people can handle 5 hours in the shops no more. I think that's what it is. Like, it's quite rare. And this is why we like maneuvered over to the day parties, because people can't, people handle it a bit better throughout the day because the energy's different. I don't think people want to be in a club now from 11 till, like, back in the day, man would come out at 11 and they'd be there when the lights come on.
Yeah.
I kid you not. Like, I remember them times. They were good times, bro. And now, like, that's just not, like you say, they're rolling out late. We had to put our foot down on it with Compound G because man were coming out. But we did the last bunch here. Man are turning up at like 8:30, 9:30. The lights come on at 10:30. And they're like, oh, what's happening? What's going on? Bro, we've been here since 4:00. Are you okay? Yeah. Like, we're closing the doors at 7:00 on Sunday. And if man roll up at 7:30, I will wave from inside the shubs, mate. You're not coming in. It's an attention span thing. 100%. Yeah. I don't think people are built to handle the duration of the night, man. So yeah, it's
might be the cost of clubbing as well.
And
life's expensive, bruv, now. Listen, bro, just to get out of bed is costing like £50.
You find yourself spending racks every day, but you're spending every day. Now, I remember back in the day, you could go 3-4 days without having to spend hardly anything sometimes.
Yeah, I actually could. I'm with you there. I actually could, but now I spend money every day. But I'm not joking, bro. It costs me £50 to get out of bed.
Double gets up and puts money in a slot machine.
I've
got to put some dollar in here before I can step out of my fucking pillow, yo.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's mad.
Yeah, crazy. It's very technical. The cost of living is crazy right now. So yeah, you combine that with costs of going out because everything's going up. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything is up right now. Club rates are up. I got an email from my gym today. Oh, our rent's gone up. So we're going to put your gym membership up. I'm like, I'm already paying £80 a month. What do you mean it's going up? I pulled up the other day and the door didn't even work. How about you put some of that gym membership money into fixing your fucking doors, bro?
Hey, I can't lie. £80 a month is excessive for the gym, bro.
To be fair, it's because it's got all the fucking frills and spills. It's got a swimming pool.
Oh, you go to one of them bougie spa gyms.
No,
right?
I go to Virgin, bro. Oh. This is what I'm saying. It ain't a bougie. It ain't like no country club. It's a bloody Virgin, bro. I feel like a virgin when I step in there.
I don't know what that means.
Oh my God. Anyway. Bro, yeah. Prices are up. Everything's up. It's actually peak right now.
Everything's up. Apart from the average rate that DJs are getting paid.
Everything's up except DJ rates, bro.
Everything's up except the fees that DJs are charging in the clubs. The clubs are not having it, mate.
I feel like we're at that moment where, like, everyone needs to renegotiate, bro. Like, because everything in England right now is being renegotiated from energy to gyms to petrol to, like, but it's them conversations, isn't it? Like, are people ready to have them conversations? Are clubs ready to even hear them?
Clubs aren't hearing them, bro.
They're not trying to hear them.
Because, again, it comes back to the thing that we spoke about a few weeks ago. There is always somebody cheaper.
Yeah.
The moment you step up and say, look, this shit's expensive now. Like, I need to put my rates up. The clubs are going to turn around and say, well, we've got someone else that will do it for half the price that you'll do it for. Yeah. Because there is someone else that will do it for half the price.
It's like a conveyor belt, isn't it? It's always it's like, what's that game back in the day where all the prizes used to come out on the conveyor belt? It was like Generation Game or some shit. There'll just be like 100 DJs on there, bro. And when there's a dud one, they just flick them off and the next one comes along.
But literally, it is like that, man. There is it's supply and demand, isn't it? The supply is far outweighing the demand for DJs right now. So that's why it's impossible to put the prices up. Unless, I mean, you might have a really cool club manager or club owner, independent club, that are just like, you know what? Yeah, cool. We're killing it. Let's put the price up. But I'll be honest, bro, majority of club owners that I know, they're businessmen. Before they are music lovers, they are businessmen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And when you're running a business, this is the complicated thing. I despise it, but I fully understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something you can be mad at. It's like, yeah, if I was running a business, I wouldn't pay for the most expensive contractors that help me run that business. I would find cheaper ones.
It goes back to like conversations we have all the time, innit, about like relationships with these people, innit? Like, I think it depends on your unique situation with the venues that you work at. Because some people might be in a comfortable position with the owner, or you have a manager that respects the art of the DJ and is happy to bump it. But like you say, there's a high percentage that just don't give a shit about that kind of thing. And you just,
yeah, 100%.
And it's 100%. Like, sometimes I see it all the time online. Like, you'll feel bad even approaching them on that level where you're asking for your money to go up, or it can be a bit, you feel like you're being a bit awkward, or they'll be looking at you like, rah, you know what I'm saying? And but when it's a completely normal conversation to be having.
Do you know what? I feel it's a tricky one, because I'm actually like, I'm cool at the moment, to be honest. Like, I'm happy with where I am at.
But all I feel in. Like, double gets £900 a minute.
No, it's way more than that. But I feel like the tricky bit for me is, I would feel, if I was in a position where I wanted to ask for more money, I would feel like I would be looked at like, oh, right, what, you're doing all these world tours with all these artists, and now you want, like, is that who you think you are type thing? Do you know what I mean? When actually 100%. It's like, you know what? No, this is just, I'm just trying to get the value.
Yeah, it's like they look at you like you're being hostile, or you're trying to create a situation, when in reality, it's not even that.
Yeah, yeah, and they're like, maybe like they would look at it like there's some arrogance there as well. Like, oh, right, okay, you're doing all this other stuff, and so now you think you're worth more. Like, actually, no, like, the cost of everything is going up, so I think the cost should go up. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, we laugh about it, but everything has gone up. But then
it's a tricky one, man.
Except our thing. we laugh and joke, but like, it's the truth, man.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, but I don't know. It's so difficult, because again, like, a lot of resident DJs will work for like a corporate club. There's not many independent clubs now, I don't think. Like, they're corporate clubs. And the thing with the corporate clubs is they set the rates, they set the budgets. And again, understandably, they're running very big venues with very, very expensive or very high electric output. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Which that's going to reflect, because the energy bills are up. So the venues are going to have to be paying loads more.
Venues are very expensive to run, bro. Like, I've been involved in a venue before, and like, even down to like business rates and other bits. And like, it's, especially if you're in a central location venue in a big city, like, running a venue in the central of Manchester is ridiculously high. Like, I get it. But I feel like our industry is one of the only ones, like you said, if you work for a company or whatever, where they'll dictate the wage to you. That doesn't happen in, well, especially in soul trade, in like many soul trading like situations.
Yeah.
They'll say, right, well, this is what we'll pay you. No, they'll come to you for a job and we'll give you a quote. Like, we'll have situations where they'll be like, well, we'll pay you this much. This is it. Or like, but we see it in one of the DJ groups we're in all the time. This set here, that's the money. Take it or leave it kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I'll always ask the question, like, is there room to negotiate there or whatever? Like, I'll always say that. But 90% of the time, it's nah.
It's nah, this is the budget. Yeah. And again, that comes down to the fact that, nah, this is the budget. And if you're not able to do that, there will be someone that is. Like, we can find someone that is. But again, like, coming from the corporate perspective, I understand that even if they were to give £50 a week extra, and it was, let's just say they had 100 DJs on their books, but that's £250,000 a year more expensive.
Yep.
Just £50 a week per DJ for 100 DJs.
Man's maths is sharp, yo.
Yeah, I'm on point with my numbers, but yeah.
Man's maths is sharp, you know. Shit.
It's £5,000 a week, isn't it? £5,000 a week more on
don't
DJs.
Don't ask me to do maths, mate. Jesus.
It's £250,000 a year.
Yeah, it's
just from £50 extra a DJ, which isn't even that much. These days, £50 a week. What is that? Your fuel?
Well, £50 these days does not stretch nothing.
Electric bills in your flat are more than £50 a week.
Yeah, 100%.
And they're more than £50 a week more.
I'm pretty certain shit went up again in the last week or two.
I think it did a couple of days ago, actually.
It was a couple of days ago, wasn't it? It was the 1st of April.
Yeah. I'm trying to stay away from depression, so I don't really watch the news like that. I'm trying to stay on good vibes. So yeah, I don't really.
We're going to turn into a talk over counseling session soon, mate. We're going to
talk over therapy, DJ therapy. But yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. It's a double-edged sword, because I feel like DJs' prices should be going up right now, because the cost of everything else is going up. But again, we're looked at as, oh, well, you're the highest paid in the room, so you can't really put your prices up. But yep. again, we did an episode breaking all of that down. Mm-hmm. But from the company side of things, again, just off of having 100 DJs in your company, £50 a week is £250,000 a year more.
Yeah, I kind of hear it from that kind of on that kind of aspect. But I've worked for a lot of independent venues over the years, and I feel like I still do now, to be fair. Yeah. And you do get more headroom there with the venues directly because, like you say, they're not paying 150,000 fucking DJs.
No.
And I don't know. I feel like whenever I've worked for independently owned venues, they semi do respect the DJ a little bit more. I don't know what the reason for that is. But like a lot of my main residences over the years have been independently owned. And they kind of get it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think the reason behind that is when it's an independent venue, in my experience,
the maybe owner, more passion there, isn't it? Maybe.
But the owner has had some say in the venue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? The owners that I've known from independent venues have been very hands-on with their clubs.
Got you.
And so from that aspect, they obviously must love a part of it, and they actually want the club to succeed from a good club perspective, not just let's make money. They actually want to have a good club.
Yeah,
when it's a corporate one, not to say that the managers don't want to have a good club, but they are dictated. Their actions are dictated by spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone in head office saying, this week you need to make X amount of money. And the people in head office aren't saying, this week you need to make sure everything's an amazing night. Do you know what I mean? That's not the forefront of the conversation. The forefront of the conversation is make profit. That's the difference between corporate clubs and independent clubs, in my experience.
Basically, what we're saying is, fuck corporates.
Absolutely not, because I still work for corporate clubs.
I'm joking, bro. So do I, man. I'm joking. I'm going to get myself cancelled soon. I need to relax.
No. It's not.
Guys, that was a joke, by the way. Don't cancel me, man. Shit. That was
a joke. But no, absolutely not.
I think it's the
lesson there for any other DJs, like new DJs and stuff, is there is a big difference between the ways that corporate clubs and independents are run.
Yeah,
the 100%. Attitude between the two. With a corporate club, the manager of a corporate club is going to have his area manager's foot on his neck to make sure that place is performing. And the area manager has the director's foot on his neck to make sure. Do you know what I mean? There's a chain of people. And at the top of that chain, there's accounts that are looking at spreadsheets and saying, well, this venue's done that and this venue's performed that and da-da-da-da-da. And it's numbers.
And at the bottom of the chain is the DJ.
Well, I mean... Essentially that is kind of true, because talk to a corporate chain and say, look, actually this is my fee and it's way more than what you're paying, and they'll say, okay, have a lovely career, because we've got 250 other people in a queue waiting for your spot.
100%.
And they will just churn you out and put the next ones in. It's simple business.
Yep.
The difference with the independent ones is in some cases, not all, but in some cases, the independent clubs, the manager or the owner might be like, well, actually, okay, I understand your value here.
Mm-hmm.
There are other DJs, but you know what? It's almost like a family setting. Do you know what I mean? Like, because
that's a good way to put it, to be fair. It's definitely... Like you said, all them venues that I've worked for that are independently owned, it does have that family vibe amongst the staff and the management. And it's always them venues where at the end of the night, I can sit at the bar and have a drink and chop it up with the manager and chat with all of the staff, and everyone's got... I'm not saying that doesn't happen with corporates, but it's way less likely. Like, I feel like that family like play is definitely relatable to my circumstances over the years, 100 million percent.
Yeah, I feel like it's the difference between like the managers that I've made friends with from corporate backgrounds. I feel like I am friends with all the managers I've worked with. I feel like I'm friends with.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
all the managers or club owners that are independents that I've worked with, I do feel a lot closer to them. And I think maybe it's because like, actually, you know what? We are in this particular venue. And if this venue fails, we all fail together. Yep.
100%.
Whereas in the corporate's perspective, it's like, if this venue fails, I'm getting changed out for someone else, or the manager's getting changed out for someone else. Do you know what I mean? If it's not working, they just move the manager around to another area and bring someone else in. So it's like, not the, I guess the conveyor belt, like you said, like if the DJ's not working, the next DJ's just shifted in.
Yep.
If the manager's not working, the next manager's just shifted in. I think that's the difference.
The conveyor belt will never stop moving, man. That's the thing. No matter, like everything keeps moving constantly.
I think it's probably like that. The corporate side of any industry is like that, I think.
Real talk. Flipping out. I wasn't expecting to start the pod this way, but quite informative.
But you know what? Actually, it's a nice segue to one of the topics that was brought up that I was going to bring up later in the pod, but we might as well segue to it now, is how to cope when a venue doesn't pay you.
Yeah.
We're talking about not getting pay rises, but there was a situation.
Talking about not getting pay rises. Now we're talking about not getting no dough.
There was a situation recently in one of the group chats where someone posted up and was like, yeah, I haven't been paid for a couple of months by a particular company. Now, I don't actually know the legal implications of naming the company, so I'm not going to name them on the podcast.
Let's not get ourselves in trouble today. Yeah,
just in case. I don't want to get myself blacklisted or end up in court or any kind of madness. I don't really understand the legal implications behind it, but... I would say it was a corporate company because they've got, it's a chain of venues. And one of the DJs had said, yeah, they haven't been paid for a couple months and they racked up like a couple grand
in
DJ fees that haven't been paid. And then a couple other DJs popped up and said, yeah, actually mine's the same. I've not been paid for 6 weeks or whatnot.
Oh, for the same venue?
Same company.
Same company, got you. Okay.
Now, one thing I would say, like what I wanted to tackle on today's pod, part of it, was advice for DJs that don't really know how to navigate this kind of situation.
Got you.
May or may not be good advice, may or may not be legal advice.
In other words, say what we say with a pinch of salt, yeah.
Don't basically, what I'm going to do is...
You don't want to hear my advice.
I'm going to basically... I want to break this down from my perspective. So like... if this was to happen to me, first of all, how I've avoided it happening to me, but if it was to happen to me, what I would do, basically. So like, it's not, if you end up arrested, quote the podcast.
I was going to say, don't do what I would do and roll up and steal. I'd be walking out with CDJs under my arm, mate.
So yeah, that was basically where I was going to go with this.
That's happened in Manchester a few times, yo. I know dudes up here that have literally gone in and took the CDJs. All right, I'll sell them off. There's my wage.
I mean,
by any means, do not do that. I'm not saying do that.
I think actually the opposite. I think by every means, do that.
Is it?
That's what I'm doing, bro. If you owe me £2,000 in DJ fees and part of the communication, by the
podcast
way,
podcast is taking a turn today, yo. We're telling man to go and rinse the shops, steal the decks.
Part of the communication was that the DJ that had said the company owes them money, they had been told that basically the company is in a lot of debt and the DJs are getting sorted out last.
Yeah.
So that's a very professional way of saying, good luck getting your money. We don't have it. So yeah, no, in that aspect, bro, like in that instance.
It's such a unique job, isn't it? Like where someone turns around and says, yeah, the DJs, you're going to be the people that we look at last, basically not going to get paid. Like that is just,
it's messed. The problem is in a lot of the time, there's no contracts.
Yeah.
If you're a resident DJ, we don't have contracts with these venues. And if you do have a contract, really how weighty is that contract? Because if the club turns around and doesn't want you tomorrow, are they going to honor your contract of giving you a month's notice? Like, chances are no. We live in the Wild West, bruv. Like, the clubs, if they don't want someone, will just say...
Oh,
no.
My phone. My shit's died. Go on, carry on. I just need to... Oh, is it you or me?
Yeah, no, it's my battery.
Oh, snap.
The clubs will just turn around and say, we don't want you anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear that. It's true. But, bro, that is such a great point to bring up, man, because the contract thing, like, my wife will say it to me sometimes if I'm dealing with new venues, and she'll be like, oh, yeah, get them to sign a contract kind of thing. And I'm like, it's hard to explain to someone that's not in the DJ game like us, like with residency stuff. And it's like, you can drop a contract, but how much weight is that going to hold? And are they really going to honor it?
It doesn't hold any weight. doesn't hold any weight at all, because essentially we're freelancing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are just subcontractors. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're just subs because there's no contract. We're just subs.
Right here on the bench, mate.
Subcontractors.
Oh, but, days.
I mean, in my very early days, bro, I wrote up a nice little contract that had like, yeah, if you want to end the residency, you need 4 weeks notice. And I remember bringing it like to a meeting with a club manager to sit down and talk through the contract and sign. And he was like, yeah, we don't do contracts. Like, Clubland doesn't do contracts.
Yep.
And this was for a corporate chain, funnily enough. And he was like, if this has to get signed, this has to go up to the legal department of the company. He's like, this is going to take weeks to process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want this residency, we just have to agree. We'll do it on a handshake. And that was my introduction to how to do business.
Got you.
Was the manager saying, yeah, we don't do contracts. We handshake. That's what it is.
Yeah, and it's like a gentleman's agreement, isn't it? It literally is. It's a handshake thing, bruv.
Yeah, and then style. It comes to court where you're like, yeah, but they owe me $5,000 in DJ fees. Well, okay, well, let's see the agreement. Well, he shook my hand.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't stand up. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. But I've been
quite lucky in that one, bro, because I said it to you before we started recording, like, I've been quite lucky where I've never been in a situation where I've had to chase money down or I've not been paid. Maybe like right in my early career, like when I was first trying to step out into the clubs or whatever. But I can't really relate to any situation where I've had to think about any kind of legalities or have to really chase a man down or steal a CDJ.
Yeah. I learned the hard way twice quite early on. The first time was it was a booking for a club where I was just one of a few DJs that had been booked.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the night went to find the promoter and the promoter was gone.
Got off. That's kind of what happened to me with one time.
Not someone I knew personally, so I wasn't able to like just be like, oh, okay, cool, yeah, pay me next time. Like, there was no next time. Promoter was gone.
Mad.
And that was early on, so it wasn't even like a significant big amount of money, but that was a learning curve. And then the other time was a promoter I did know. This was when I was started to do stuff in London, and it got to the end of the night and that infamous conversation with the promoter of, you know what, bro, we weren't quite as busy as we expected it to be, so the money didn't come through the till. So, like, I don't have the cash on me to pay you.
We didn't make enough money tonight.
Yeah, so it's like, you know what, bro? That's when it starts with a, you know what, bro? It's a long day. But after that instance, I changed my approach so that for all guest bookings, unless you are my close friend, all guest bookings, you got to pay me a deposit.
Got you.
Like, so you want to lock the date in. Okay, cool. I'm only writing that date in my diary as soon as half the money is in the account.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know what? Some promoters were like, oh yeah, we don't really do deposits. We don't work like that. And it was very difficult at first, but I'd made a conscious decision to be like, okay, cool. Well, if that's not how you want to do business, I don't want to do business with you.
Yeah, the booking's not for me.
I just let it go, which is a very, especially like early in the game,
yeah,
when you're really hungry for DJ work and you really want to be in the clubs and you really want to get that booking and stuff. That's such a difficult decision because you think like, oh, if I let this opportunity go, what other opportunities am I going to miss?
100%.
But my advice would honestly be, if someone's not serious enough just to ping half the money into your account, which you can do in less than a minute from your phone,
literally,
it's not a hassle.
Literally.
And even if, yeah.
Maybe back then it might have been when we were coming through, because I don't even think online
not
banking
even,
or anything.
I think internet banking was still a thing. Yeah, of course.
Nah, when I started DJing in clubs, but I'm not going to say all day. There was definitely no internet banking back then, yo. I remember when Facebook had not come out, Chad.
Maybe.
But I hear you, bro. Literally, but now though, listen, it's easier.
This is the thing. Even if it's not half the money,
yep,
even if some DJs might just be like, you know what?
20%
chuck a £50 deposit.
Mm-hmm.
and the date's yours. Because 50 pound, I feel like, is enough for a promoter to not break the bank.
Exactly.
But also, it's a serious enough amount of money for them to not just flutter it away. Do you know what I mean? And worst case scenario, if the date falls through, or if like you've got 50 quid.
Yeah.
Do you know 100%. What I mean? But just that one gesture there, the little deposit just to secure the date.
A security, man.
It tells me that the promoter is serious.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good way to weed out. Yeah, exactly. It's a good way to weed out the people. Like, I'm the same now. Like, if I hit him with that and it's like, whatever, then I just won't even continue the conversation. Because like you say, it weeds out. If you're a serious promoter, you won't even bat an eyelid paying a deposit to someone.
Yeah,
if you're umming and ahhing, paying 50% deposit or 50 quid, 100 quid or whatever, then you need to sit there and look yourself in the mirror and think, are these men even the people that I want to be associating myself with?
Exactly that. And as, no matter how good the event looks,
mm-hmm.
if they're not willing to just drop you a little deposit to lock in the date,
yep.
they're not serious.
It's the FOMO that kills you, bro. That's the
100%.
Thing. It's the 100%. FOMO that kills you, because you'll sit there and you'll take it for fear of missing out or whatever, because you feel like this where it might get you. But in the long run, you'll look back and thank yourself that you avoided it. And at that current moment, it might not feel like that. But the amount of work I don't touch these days because of that, but obviously we've learned with over experience, but reaching down to the new kids, like, don't let the FOMO kill you, man. Trust me.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one way to avoid getting bumped. Basically. Mm-hmm. So like my policy is, it's like 50% to lock in the date and then the other 50% before I've performed.
Yep. I hear that.
Like, and when everything's getting spoken about and the fees being told, and do you know what I mean? And everything's getting locked in and you're mm-hmm. talking about hotel details, if it's a far away one or whatever, I always say, yeah, cool. It's a 50% deposit to secure the date and the other 50% must be paid before performance.
Oh yeah.
Because that way it stops me DJing and then coming off the set and the promoter's bounced. Do you know what I mean? And now they've got a half price set.
But I swear, there's nothing worse, especially when you're a new DJ and that happens to you for the first time. Because like the one incident it did happen to me when I first started, and I was just basically out here being a cowboy running around clubs. And the dude's got off like, you don't know what to do here. shall I go chase this guy down or what? What do I do right now?
I was speaking to the bouncers. I'm like, well, yeah, but I need to get paid. Where's the money? And the bouncers, obviously the bouncers have nothing to do with promoters. Even in a lot of cases, the club managers don't even know the promoters that well.
Yeah,
I don't know. He just booked the venue.
It's literally like you said before. It's the wild, wild west out here, bro. When you're trying to find your feet and maneuver like earlier on, like literally is. It's a free for all, yo.
Yeah,
it's a free for all, and it's them experiences that make you the better DJ in the long run, because you have to go through these things.
Everyone, it's a rite of passage, really. Like everyone 100%. Will go through getting bumped. It's like learning to box. You're getting punched in the face.
I might get knocked early down a couple of times, but you get back up.
And it's just you just got to learn how to block the punches. That's what it is. But so on the other side of it, going back to the specific situation we were talking about, this corporate thing not paying out, I've got a rule that basically, like, if a corporate company was to not pay me for 2 weeks running, that's a red flag for me. And then I'm after 1 week, I always flag it, because occasionally it happens, you know, with these big corporate companies, they have accounting departments.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakes sometimes are made.
Mm-hmm.
And like occasionally just 1 week it will get missed.
Yeah,
I don't get pissed off with that. I've worked for corporate companies long enough to know, okay, well, this happens. It's just an error somewhere and it will get fixed the week after. And if it's not fixed the week after, I will just flag it again and just be like, oh yeah, that money from a couple of weeks ago never landed. Could you just sort it out in the next run? If they go 2 weeks in a row without paying, it's a red flag. Now, this hasn't happened to me for a very long time, fortunately, but if it's 2 weeks in a row, I speak to the manager and say to them, 2 weeks have been missing. If the third week is missing, like, I'm not going to be playing.
Got you.
Like, I'll be coming to the club, but there will be no music because it's going to be an issue. Do you know what I mean? So luckily, it's never ever gone to the third week of it not being paid. And like I say, it's usually just like 1 week and it's because an error somewhere in accounting or whatnot. But in my opinion, to let it go 2 months without someone paying you,
that's an emergency. That's not a red flag. That's sirens.
That is an absolute. And in part, I think that is partially the DJ's error for allowing it to get that big.
Yeah, it's a combination of both, isn't it? Like you say, I'm like you. I'll probably flag it after a week or two, but I won't apply the pressure fully. Only because some venues, well, it depends on how they pay in it. Some might pay 2 weeks in advance, or like some will even do 30-day invoices or whatever, which is obviously quite rare, because normally it's a couple of weeks in the DJ world. But I'll put the pressure on after like 2 weeks. Well, not being rude or anything. Like it's just kind of like giving them a nudge and letting them know. But like you say, if you're letting it run to the level where it's 2 months, then it's a combination of kind of your own, like you've let it slip there to let it go that long without getting. Especially if it's a weekly thing and you've done 8 gigs and you've not been paid.
Yeah.
And you've not thought, and you after a month, I'm thinking, yo.
I'm not letting it get to a month.
It's not even going past that.
Because even though that's only a couple of weeks DJ fees, mm-hmm. in the actual planet Earth, that is a lot of money, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's still a lot of money. It's not getting to a month of no pay. Unless, if they were to turn around and be like, yeah, actually, you know what? There's been a huge problem with all the accounting system and something that if I'm given an explanation and actually like they would say, look, I know it's building up, but the payment will actually come on this specific date. Depending on my relationship with said company, whichever company it is, I'd be like, okay, cool. You know what? That's absolutely fine. We'll look for that date then. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? If I'm given like an actual explanation,
yeah,
then I think that's fine. But for it to just not pay. After the third week, I'm coming up on week four. There's no music getting paid. And I'm also taking the decks now as the deposit. Like the equipment's coming home with me and you can have it back when
Double's going to be at Double's in bed cuddling a CDJ 3000.
Two. I've got one under each arm and I'm using the mixer as a pillow.
Bro, do you know what? Yeah, it's that conversation we said before about having them conversations about asking for your money to be bumped up or whatever. Like, it's the same kind of situation. Like, every DJ is different in how they approach things and their personality. And some are outspoken, some are not, some are shy. You know what I mean? Some are loud. And are they prepared to put the venue under P? Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's individual to everyone's situation, but. Like you say, you're out here in the wild, wild west, man. You got to prepare and be ready to have these conversations, especially if you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
Like for that amount of time, then it's a case of geeing yourself up to have these conversations and put your foot on people's
neck. If it's a company that's consistently paid you, mm-hmm. a regular one, and then all of a sudden they just stop and now 2 months has gone past and they still haven't.
Yeah.
And there's no explanation given. Mm-hmm. That's a red flag to me. And like in that instance, company is probably going into liquidation and they're just stopping all payments that they can pay. Do you know what I mean? They're just clawing onto
stalling it, so they're in a position to say that they're not paying nobody, and like you say, they'll probably just get away
and then
with
one day the company just doesn't exist anymore, and your debts are not getting paid without going to court. Oh my word!
The ball's died again.
Again.
Yeah, they don't want to hear what you're saying, bro, because you're talking about Jack and CDJs, man. Disrespecting the ting out.
This is it. It's lucky I've got a whole load of cameras next to me, the batteries next to me. So yeah, I mean it is a problem, man. But I think communication is the key, really. Yep. Communication and not allowing it to get to 2 months where you haven't been paid. Mm-hmm. Like set yourself a limit, set yourself a couple weeks. Do you know what I mean? Even if you notice one payment missing, flag it with the manager and just say, oh yeah, this week wasn't paid. Can you just make sure it's in next week's, please?
Well, yeah, because you know what I mean? two months as well. Like people have monthly outgoings, they have bills and stuff So like that, like that's, it's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. If that's eight gigs, bro. Like if that's weekly, like do the math.
Yeah. And now if that company now goes into liquidation, you've been working for them for 2 months for nothing.
Yeah.
You've given 2 months of your time for, you've been DJing for free.
Oh yeah. For 2 months. Charity thing.
Mad.
Yeah, that's a mazzoline.
So yeah, it's a tricky one.
The moral of the story is teeth the decks.
Teeth the decks. But yeah, again, it's not really advice that we're giving out because it's illegal. It's actually stealing. So we can't really say go and steal the decks. I'm just saying what I would do. I would go. I would take
equipment. We're not saying do it. We're saying we would do it.
Exactly. I'm saying do as I say. I won't name any names,
but I'm kidding. Manny done it the other week, yo.
Really? Yeah.
I swear down. Oh, man. I won't even go into it too deep because this is where I live. But yeah, sticky ones.
But I think it really does. I think, how else, bro? Because DJ equipment holds its value a lot of the time as well.
Well, exactly. If you're on a couple of bags, mate, one CDJ, couple of bags, boy.
I think that's the go-to. The only problem is if there's four DJs that haven't been paid, who gets the decks? First come, first served, basically.
Want to be outside flipping a coin.
The other process is to do small claims court and all of that stuff, but you have to pay to enter a claim.
Exactly.
There's all kinds of red tape and stuff. There's loads of paperwork involved. There is literally millions of weeks worth of waiting because there's a huge backlog at the courts and still no guarantee of getting your money.
I feel like a good way for if you're having that approach, then you need to be keeping records of your conversations because if it comes down to that, like, I try and get everything in WhatsApps or emails. Like if someone inquires to me on like Instagram or whatever, I'm saying to them, put it to my email. So yeah, I've got a record and a trail of all the conversations. So if there ever becomes a sticky situation, the proof is in the pudding. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The agreements have all been there. Whether it's contracted or not, if you've been shafted for a couple of K and it goes to a small claims court and you've got recorded conversations going back and forward with this said with said person for amount, There's a much higher chance that you're going to get your money back.
Yeah, definitely a higher chance. But again, if the if the company goes into administration, which means it's closing down, it's being taken over, and it is seriously failing as a company, the chances of you getting your money back are still very, very slim. Because essentially, I think it means it has no money left. And I think the people that take over the administration of the company, I think their responsibility is to pay off like the biggest debts first, which sadly DJs are usually at the bottom of the pile because you'll have suppliers like all the drink suppliers and energy companies and landlords and stuff to pay first.
Exactly.
So $2,500 for a DJ, small change, so you might get 500 quid.
Yeah, basically use your spidey senses and try and you need to get on top of that shit before it even gets to that situation. So if you do end up getting bumped, it might only be for like 2-3 weeks and not 7 to 10.
That's the thing, just be vigilant with it and
vigilante.
Don't allow the fact that people don't take DJing seriously as a proper career, don't allow that to block you asking for money that you're owed. If you've done a job and a venue owes you money, you're well within your rights to ask, oh, I didn't get paid. Like, do it politely as well. Don't be like, where's my fucking money? Do you know what I mean? Like, be polite about it, but just flag the, you know, I wasn't paid for last week. They didn't
pay me.
Pulling
up on smoke.
Like, I haven't been paid for 2 weeks. Can you look into it, please? Do you know what I mean? Just a very, very simple, because some people, it's awkward for a lot of people bringing up money, isn't it? Especially where, like, if you've got if you're friends with the manager as well, it can be tricky having conversations with money about money with friends. So if the manager's your friend, it might feel a bit awkward, but at the end of the day, the manager's job is to make sure that they manage, and if they're not managing your money coming to you, you need to bring it up. But
yeah, it's one of them taboo subjects, isn't it, that people, that a lot of people don't like talking about, and it's money. But at the end of the day, that's as a sole trader or an individual business, you got to learn to have them uncomfortable conversations, mate, or you're going to struggle navigating in the long run.
Facts.
You got to be able to talk about money. Like, as a promoter now, like, I remember earlier in my DJ career, I struggled having these conversations, but after, I think it was approaching the event side of it. Even in my early promoter career, I would struggle. But you learn quick because you have to sit with these venue owners and break down numbers and have these conversations, which is way above like just trying to sort out a DJ rate. You know what I mean? So I feel like that definitely helped like my approach. Like, some people promote and don't DJ. Some people DJ and don't promote. So it's finding your lane and how to approach these things, man. But yeah.
That's facts. So yeah. Go get paid. Can I chat about a Twitter thread that came up? It's quite an interesting one. This is an interesting topic, you know. I quite like this. Shouts to DJ Dre. DJ Dre _23 on Twitter. He's followed us for quite a while, actually. I think he's been in the Talkover family for a little while. And he tweeted us. He said, "Boys, something happened to me last Saturday. I don't know how I feel about it. I turned up to play a 1-hour set at a venue. Firstly, they had a controller set up when I got there. Not the issue, but the rider was sent. So yeah, they didn't honor the tech rider, which is always an annoyance, but cool. Dre's a professional, we cracked on. He said the controller was USB capable, so I jumped on. Good man. I didn't realize the resident DJ's laptop was still connected. At the end of the set, the resident turned around and said, "By the way, I record all my sets and yours was recorded too. Do you want me to send it to you?" And he said, "Anyway, I wasn't bothered at the time, but on my drive home, I couldn't stop thinking about it. How would you guys react?" I love that as a topic, you know.
So the guy before him is recording his set.
The whole night. He's recording the whole night. And he has recorded the guest DJ's set. I love this for a topic.
I'm not sure I would like that, to be fair. Did he tell him before he recorded it?
No. Afterwards. He said, at the end of the night, once he was done, the residents turned around and said, "Oh, by the way, I record all my sets and yours has been recorded too."
Yeah. All right. I rate the honesty from the guy for actually saying it, to be fair, because he could have just not said nada and cracked on and took his mix. But put it this way, if I go to a club and there's a headline, and I'm recording fucking, I don't know, throw an example out there, Mr. Jam. I've recorded Mr. Jam's set, yeah? And then I turn around afterwards and say, "Oh, yo, bro, yeah, I've just recorded your whole set." I don't think man's going to be happy. Like, you're semi-teething someone's, like, it's... You're teething someone's set, innit? Like, without...
It's like, what's the phrase?
Ask him beforehand, and then you're getting a yes or no answer, or telling someone after that you've recorded it, and I've recorded it. So what? Okay, I didn't want you to record it. What now? You're going to give me the mic? You're going to give me the file? Now what? What did he do? What did Dre do? Because Dre's my guy, actually, by the way. Big up, Dre.
He actually said that he didn't say what he did. He just said he was fine with it at the time, and then driving home, he couldn't get it off his mind.
Right, okay.
So that means he regretted it. Do you think it counts as, like, intellectual property theft?
I was about to say.
I don't know anything.
I wasn't sure if I was using the correct terminology.
I don't know anything about that law.
Same.
Legislation around it. So I don't know, because it's not like, I mean, essentially, I don't want to downplay what we do, but essentially I'm just playing someone else's music. So it's my take on it.
Intellectual property is more like patents, copyrights, trademarks and stuff, like what we've done with Compound. Like, that's all trademark stuff. Like, no one could use that. I don't know whether it would fall under the same thing in regards to, like, recording someone's DJ set.
I don't think there's DJ etiquette, bro. It is against etiquette.
You don't record a man's set without permission and then proceed to tell them after, "Yo, I've recorded all my sets." But you're not just recording your sets, are you? You're also recording the guests.
Yeah, if I wasn't told about it beforehand, I would definitely feel a little bit violated. But my immediate question is, what are you doing with the recording?
Yeah, exactly.
And then if, like, depending on what they say, if they're like, "Oh, I just listened to it by myself in the car to pick out my mistakes," then I don't care that you've got mine. Cool. You can listen to mine. That's fine. But if they're like, "Oh yeah, I post the whole night always every week on my Mixcloud, like my podcast," I would say, would I? Yeah, I would. I think I'd say, "Okay, cool. Can you edit mine out? Take mine out of it."
Would you ask for the file?
No, I don't care about the file. I'm not going to do anything with it.
Yeah, but if he keeps the file, how's he going to edit it out? He's got the file, he can do what he wants. He could say, "Yeah, I'm going to take the mix out," but then I'm not.
He can, but and ultimately, if he does post my mix online, there's nothing I can do about it. It's just my mix. It's just my live performance. And again, like, it's not my music, so I don't hold the copyright to any of it.
Yeah, the reality is it is an
etiquette thing. It's manners. But what he is guaranteeing if I've asked him, like, say he's like, yeah, I just post the nights always on my Mixcloud. Now, to be honest, I probably would. I think I would only have a problem if he's told me afterwards. If he's told me beforehand, oh, I record the night and I post it on my Mixcloud, is it cool if I include your set?
Yeah.
I would probably say, yeah, you know what? That's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool. I don't mind. Because I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm playing to a room of however many hundred or thousand people. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
100%.
It's not a secret mix that I'm doing. I'm not doing a secret set. It's a club set. It's meant to be public.
Nah, bro, I hear that. Do you know what? Yeah, when you break it down, I wouldn't even fully be completely bothered in that respect. It's more the behavioural aspect of it.
Yeah. This is the thing. Like,
that would rub you up the wrong way.
Tell me beforehand, and I think I'm absolutely cool. But if you tell me afterwards, then I think I feel like that's a sly one.
Yeah,
I feel like you've done that in secret. That's a bit weird.
If he's the resident too, he could. How hard is it for him to say this is recording, by the way?
Before
you start, like that's what I would say.
Yeah, I usually record the nights. Can I include your set? In which case, unless I'm in a really bad mood,
I would say yeah, cool.
I'm just gonna be like, yeah, that's fine. I will ask what you're doing with it though. What are you doing? What's the recording for?
Yeah,
that's what I'm asking first. What's the recording for? And if he's just like, oh, you know, I post it out on my Mixcloud or I post it out on my YouTube, then I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah. True stories. Yeah, true stories, bro. I feel like
but it
technically, it's not like man ain't teeth in your shit. Like say, bro, how many mixes have we put out online over the years for anyone to just steal and do whatever they want with them? But it's more of man's basically just doing it on a bit of a sly one and then telling you afterwards when the opportunity was there to just tell you, yo,
we're
recording this kind of thing. So I could see why Dre would be scratching his head a little bit on the way home. But you don't want to create a situation, so you would just be like, yeah, whatever, and won't make nothing of it. And then you think about it later on, exactly like he's done there in that situation.
No, I think my immediate go-to would definitely be like, what's the recording for?
Well, yeah, that's what it's for, but I'm not going to create a scene.
No, like, I'm not creating a scene,
I'm still going to be a nice guy about it, which is probably what Dre's done in his approach. But then he's probably got back in the car and thought, actually...
I feel like I'd be a nice guy about it, but I'm still going to pull you up and why have you done that?
You're
telling me after the set that you've recorded it, I think I'm going to be like, well, what's it for?
Yeah.
Like, you should have told me beforehand.
Yeah,
like, I'm not going to be a dickhead, but I'm going to stick it on you a little bit because you'd need telling off. That's rude. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's bad manners, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again. It's the DJ etiquette, man. That's not how you behave. That's not how to do it, yo. That's not it.
Yes. And then the other thing is, if I've had an absolute shit one, if I'm not happy with how my set went,
man's reading the laptop for the final.
And this happens, brother.
Delete
you know, from, not every set that I do is perfect. I've got 99% strike rate, but that 1%, you know, it's not always
no
really,
one hits
really
100% of the time, bro.
I mean, I do most of. Nah, I'm joking. But yeah, that 1% that I'm not happy with, if that is one of those sets, then I am actually going to ask, can you take my section of the night out?
Yeah.
Don't post mine. I did, and I'll explain. I'll just say, don't post mine. It wasn't a good set.
Yeah, cut that out. I hear that.
And that's the thing is, what happens when they do post it and my set is included? Well, I can't do nothing about it. I can't tell you take it down. I don't own it, the copyright to the songs, but what you are guaranteeing is that I will never, ever, ever fuck with you again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of them ones where you just know it and keep it moving, and you just know them, like bit sneaky, bit of a whack maneuver that, like, keep it moving, but it's mentally noted. I've become the king of that now over the years. I on the drama thing, bro, mentally note that down, keep it moving, and just don't mess with these people again.
Yeah.
That's just where I'm at, mate. Back in the day, it's smoke. Matt, it's smoke back in the day.
You don't want to meet the old me.
I'm telling you, bro, man has been through the run of the mill, mate. I would have been on smoke back then. Now it's just like, I'm just noting that down and keeping it moving. I'm at one with, I'm at one with myself now, bro, for my change, man.
Yeah. I'm the same, bro. I'm not here for drama.
Taking the file, bro. Taking the laptop.
I'm taking the laptop. I'm taking your car keys.
I'm taking
going to your
you.
House.
I'm taking
your PS5.
You, bro. I'm kidnapping you.
Putting you in the boot until you take your Mixcloud down. But No, that's
in the boot till you take your mix card. How's he taking the mix card down if he's in the boot?
How am I fitting him in the boot? I've already got two CDJs and a mixer in there.
Oh, my chest is hurting, man. For God's sake.
But yeah,
It's a good one, that. Interesting situation. That's never happened before. So yeah, big up Dre for sending that one in still. That's a good one, man.
I do like that for a topic. But yeah, I think that's definitely how I would respond to that.
Dre would actually be a sick guest, you know, because my man's been about same way.
Like, well, there you go.
He's got good experience to reach upon, man. We should definitely try and get him on one time.
Well, he just heard you say it because he's a listener. So he'll jump in the DMs now. Let's go. Let's make it happen.
Let's get it.
Drunk people are weird, isn't it? Like, people just in general, yeah? I think people that go to the clubs...
We're normally good at these segues. I was like, drunk people are weird, isn't it?
They're weird. I had one the other day. And actually, this topic comes from a conversation I had with a photographer. So
drunk people are weird.
I was DJing, yeah, and the club that I was playing in, there was a stage with the DJ riser on top.
Yeah.
To the right of the stage, with his back to me, sat just on the corner of the stage, on his phone the whole time, was a guy that had his own headphones in. He was just sat down on the stage with earphones in his ears.
Was he using them as plugs?
I don't know. Because he was sat still, so he wasn't even reacting to any music. It's not like he was reacting to different music in his ears.
Maybe he was reacting to noise cancelling.
Maybe they were. Maybe he was just sat in silence.
I do that sometimes if I don't want to hear music and I'm in the club and I'm not DJing. If I'm waiting for a guest or I'm up next, I'll just put my Sennheisers over my ears. Because you know what them Sennheisers are like, but you put them over. They're like noise cancelling headphones.
I don't use them, so I don't know. I have the ear plugs that I put in that helps.
Got you. Yeah, the Sennheisers, when you put them over your ears, because they're air covering ones. So it literally, bro, it's like wearing plugs, basically. It just dampens everything out. If my ears are feeling a bit tender that day, then I'll just keep them on. So, but
I mean, maybe he was doing that, but I feel like he was listening to his own music.
That is proper weird, yo.
I posted him on my story because I kind of thought it was amusing, but it did piss me off a little bit. I'm just like, well, I'm better at this than you. Your music in your ears can't be better than what I'm selecting for you. So take them out and listen to what I'm selecting.
This is the problem, bro. We have these conversations all the time. Like, what's better to him? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, man can just be on his Spotify running his 10 favorite songs of all time, back to back.
Facts.
He's not trying to hear DJ Double. I've died now as well.
Now your battery's dead. But anyway,
I actually don't have any more batches, bro.
Oh no. So anyway.
Pressure. luckily we've actually been recording for an hour, which is dope. So that's actually good timing.
So anyway, I posted it on my Instagram story, and one of the photographers that I know posted back to me, and he said, well, that's not as bad. He said one day he was in the club and someone was sat with headphones in watching Star Wars on their phone.
That is a mad thing.
Just watching the Star Wars movie on your phone with your headphones in the club.
Maybe people do it because they just want to be like outside and around other humans, maybe.
Possibly. I had a funny one. Do you remember when the Pokemon game came out years ago, like a few years ago, 5 years
My
ago?
My man's in the dance trying to catch a Charizard. Do you remember when we had that time when everyone was playing Pokemon and dudes were just running around outside trying to catch a Bulbasaur and that? You don't?
Because they weren't outside. This is where my story's going, bro. I was DJing and I promise you, on my life, there was an adult male walking on the stage.
That's an adult male, like it's a live program.
An adult male on the stage with his phone trying to catch a Pokemon in the club.
Yeah, that is crazy.
On the stage. The Pokemon was on the stage.
We had the real life. We had the real life Ash Ketchum in the dance.
Why do you know all the names?
Because I used to watch Pokemon religiously, bro. I used to be on that. I had the Game Boy and everything. Excellent. I was the guy.
My man's trying to get a Squirtle.
Mama's out here Bulbasauring it in the dance.
Bulbasaur.
Oh, Mama's daggering a Bulbasaur, yo.
But yeah, people are weird. Have you had any weird experiences with people doing shit like that?
Bro, do you know what? Yeah, I have lost them. I off the top of my head, I can't even really think of any specific situations because I have seen it all over the years with drunk people, mate.
Yeah.
I seen a man pissing in the club one time.
You told me that.
Literally, just, I actually semi knew the guy as well, but that's how I know alcohol does mad things to people.
Yeah.
My man was pissing in the DJ booth. I just turned around and he's there with his willy out, just up the wall, bruv. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I nearly fainted.
Drunk nearly people are weird, bro.
I nearly passed out, but yeah, bro, alcohol does some crazy stuff to people, man. It's not good for you. I hardly drink now, bro. I can't do it no more. If I get drunk, I am hurt for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day, I could drink 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week, and be all right and keep it moving when my body was, like, young and fresh. And now, wow. It hits different now, bro. I don't think I'm built for it no more. And, like, it beats up your mental health a little bit as well when you're drinking too much. You don't even realize, but it fucks with you, man.
You're getting old, mate.
Yeah, but just in general, though, like, I'm just, like, I'm enjoying the clarity of life. Like, it muddles you out, man. And, like, yeah, it feels great at the time, but then the 2-3 days after it, you...
Facts.
Unproductive, in the mud, clouded vision. Like, it's your appetite's off. Like, I just don't know, man. I just don't think I'm about it no more. The only time I drink and have fun now, really, is maybe once in a while if I step out when I'm not DJing, which is quite rare. Or Compound, bro. Only because Compound is full of, not saying everywhere's full of shit people, but it's full of good people.
It's one
of them environments where you just want to get involved, kind of thing. So, but yeah, even then,
tribe, isn't it?
But then the next day, damaged goods.
Yeah, true. Lips.
Yeah, the alcohol stuff is mad, yo. We traveled on a ferry, over to Rotterdam on the tour, and it was one of them old. I need to send you a video, yo. Felt like I'd gone back to the 60s, mate.
We on a paddle boat with the big paddle wheels at the side.
some of the dancing and behavior that I was seeing on the, and I was like, only alcohol is to blame for this.
Mm.
It's a mad thing, but yeah, I've never seen people in the subs with headphones on though. That's a different.
Or catching Pokemon. Last topic for the day.
Go on.
Something that really bothers me is seeing a controller or all-in-one or some kind of unit placed on top of already existing DJ kit.
That's an absolute no-go.
There was that photo that popped up last week. Did you see it?
Yeah, I see that. Someone was like, what is wrong here?
Someone posted what is wrong here. And to be honest, I could have gone on for days. I saw a million things wrong with that photo. But the main thing was he had the mixer stacked on top of the other mixer that was already there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, to be honest, mate.
I don't like it, bro.
If you're not coming into a place where I'm DJing and putting your controller on top of the decks, man.
Nah.
It's just not happening. Like, you either bring a little stand to put it outside the booth or next to it or something, or you find some space, but it ain't going on top of the CDJs. For one, that's just an absolute disrespect, in my opinion.
Like, yeah.
Like,
it really annoys me, but I
can't. You can damage CDJs as well. You know, you can damage the platters on CDJs by putting stuff on top of them.
Putting too much weight on them, of course.
Yeah, like, it messes up the platters, bro.
And this is the thing, someone who's bringing a controller in doesn't care because they don't use them.
Well,
they don't care if it's damaged or not. But I don't know, it's like,
what do you do in that situation, though? Do you move the whole setup?
It really
annoys me.
It's quite
technical, isn't it?
It really annoys me, but I don't know why it annoys me.
Because
I don't know why. It's not my equipment.
Well, it's like
you are not putting your stuff on top of my equipment. We're fighting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. So, like, if it's my own equipment, that's...
But generally, if I'm playing at an event where there is more than one DJ, I generally don't take my equipment. Because I don't really use my turntables if I'm just doing a guest set.
So
I'm using the club stuff. But it would still bother me. It would piss me off if someone plonked their controller on top of a mixer and CDJs that don't belong to me.
I think it also depends on the setup of the night, bro, as well. Like, if you've got a guy warming up on a controller, I still don't think putting it on top is an option, really. But
no,
if he's finished and then he just lifts that off and you're playing underneath. But if you've got if you're warming up and then a dude comes in and whacks his controller on top? You know what I'm saying?
Well, annoying.
Like, it's a bit, again, that's not happened to me, thank God, because I'm not sure how I would react. But, again, some of these booths aren't built for fucking one setup, never mind two.
Yeah, so, that is part of the problem. But I mean,
and these controllers are getting big too, bro.
They're getting bigger and bigger.
They're getting bigger and bigger. Man are pulling up with spaceships, bro. Like, like you just don't know what you're going to get no more. These controllers are hench. It's like a mixer. It's like a DJM and two CDJs in one contraption.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting hench. But if they you can mix on a controller that is like that now, like these new Pioneer ones, you may as well just use the CDJs in the mixer,
just use the
right?
CDJs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird.
Never. The one thing I picked up on from that picture was how many people was in the flipping booth, bro.
Yeah, bro, this is what I'm saying. There were so many different things.
I would hate that, yo. I would hate that. I don't like. I have this thing where it puts me off my performance, even when I got bare man stood like behind me in the booth staring at what I'm doing.
You know what? If they're my friends, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's other homies, DJs that I know, then it's cool.
Same.
The only thing I don't like is I need my space. I move around quite a bit. I do dance a little bit and that. Like I don't want to step. And also, I always keep standing. My laptop is above the left-hand deck.
Got you.
So I take a step to the left to select the next song. If I'm taking a step to the left and I'm nudging someone's shoulder, that bugs me.
Yeah, the space thing is imperative.
I need my
man.
Space.
You need the space to move in the booth. I don't understand the whole 20 man in the booth. I don't get it. And I don't get why that is a thing that everyone thinks to cool if they're stood in the booth. It's not cool.
It might be vibe. I remember one set last year I did.
Yeah, but if it's the homies, it's vibes. But you don't want just bare randoms pulling up in the booth.
No, not just random. I don't know half of you. Like, why
are
you doing
if it's homies, like, I'm down for it because it keeps my set. Well, it don't keep my set going, but it gives me more of an energy lift. You know what I'm saying?
The best DJ set that I did last year was in a packed DJ box.
Got you.
It was all people I know, and bro, I was killing it differently as well.
That's the difference in it.
One of my best sets, and literally like half of them messaged me the next day and was like, bro, I have never ever seen you DJ like that before. It was an open format set too, so I'm jumping over all the genres everywhere. Cool. But everyone that was around me, I knew majority, there was a couple little plus ones, but I knew the majority of people that were in the booth, and they were just vibing and their energy was giving me energy, which was giving them energy. And it was just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100. It's definitely down level. It's got to be the homies, man. It's like people come up and be like, oh, can I come in the booth? It's a no for me.
No one's asked me that for a while, actually.
Yeah. Last time that happened was, I think it was in Liverpool or something. And like, there's a bunch of girls. It's like, oh, can we come in the booth, please? And I was like, nope.
No.
not today, bro.
I don't know you.
Nah, you're right, though, man. Them ones are sick. When you've got a bunch of your peoples in the booth, bro, and it just lifts you up a little bit. And sometimes you can just be possessed and just start going on a mad thing.
Yeah.
But it's seeing the moments, you got to keep the focus because it's too easy to forget what's in front of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now you're just playing for the friends.
Boys are going in right now. Bun the crowd. Like, you've got to try and keep the balance and not let it get too gassed. Because you have them situations where you see DJs do that and they forget about the floor. And the next thing, the floor's clearing. Like, you got to find the balance in them situations 100%.
That is facts.
It's an important one. But yeah, there were so many things wrong with that picture, bro. I'm trying to think what else. I can't remember the picture off the top of my head, but I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah. The mixer on top of the mixer, that was the main thing that triggered me. Yeah. And it made me think about, you can't put controllers and mixers on top of
mixers. What mixer did he put on top of it? It was a mixer.
I think it was
a
900 underneath. It was like a 900 underneath, and it was like a, I want to say it was like an S11 or an S9 or something that he had on the top.
I need to see
I think. I'm
trying to find it. I can't find it for now. I know which one you mean. We'll retweet it on the talkover page if it hasn't been retweeted already.
I don't know if it has. But yeah, anyway, that was what triggered me this week.
We get triggered every week, man.
Every week's a new thing.
MC Trigger.
This life's too stressful for me. I can't take it anymore.
Mate. I am going for a scran because I'm starving. I've not had no lunch, and all I've had is a banana and an apple for my breakfast and a coffee.
Thanks for that.
I've been up since 7. Yeah, I'm on this new flex. 7 a.m. starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, bruv.
Vibes until you do a 5 a.m. finish.
Yeah. Yeah. Last time I did a late set, I was falling asleep mid-set, mate. I had to give myself a boost.
Yeah, 10-minute naps, man. I'm telling you, I did a whole episode about it before, innit? Do the 10-minute naps, mate. Train yourself.
I'll get there. One step at a time. One step at a time, yeah.
Hashtag TalkOverPod. Don't forget, at TalkOverPod on Instagram, Twittergram, TikTokgram, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Hills up, mate.
And of course, the YouTube shorts are out there as well.
What?
So, yeah.
You can't even see me now, so I'm just out here doing a mad thing.
I'm just hearing weird noises because your camera's gone off.
Until next time, you little pump of seeds.
Yes. Until next time. Later.